Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Richelle, R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N. Michelle Pearson is a 57-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on 8/24/21. She was on break in the break area in the break room on a rolling chair that slid from underneath her. She injured both wrists initially, but later on had issues with her right knee, right shoulder, for some time. The knee pain onset was about 1 year after the subject incident. She did undergo surgery by way of trigger finger release on the right hand. She has also undergone surgery on her right knee and right shoulder on her own. The latter was done by Dr. Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N. Paragraph, as per the records provided, Ms. Pearson was seen at urgent care on 9/7/21. She related falling off of a rolling chair at work on 8/24/21. She didn't seek any medical attention until today, but had pain in her wrists and hands. She continued to do full duty as a cashier for the insured. She was evaluated and diagnosed with a wrist sprain and hand sprain, for which she was prescribed Mobic. X-ray showed calcification of the left ulnar styloid from a possible old avulsion fracture. She was going to see a hand surgeon for follow-up. On 9/7/21, she had x-rays of the right wrist that showed likely old avulsion fracture fragment adjacent to the left ulnar styloid, but there was no additional potential fracture visualized in either wrist. In paragraph on 9/22/21, she was seen by Dr. Danowski, D-A-N-O-W-S-K-I. She stated she fell backwards from the chair, attempting to brace herself with her outstretched bilateral upper extremities. She developed immediate pain of the wrists on the left more than the right. The pain had been ongoing since that time. She also notes numbness and tingling affecting both hands intermittently. He performed an evaluation and noted a history of idiopathic polyneuropathy, cerebral vascular accident due to occlusion of a precerebral artery, migraine without aura and without status migrainis, cervical spondylosis, and Moya, M-O-Y-A disease. She was on numerous medications. He wrote she appeared to have symptoms consistent with median nerve neuritis bilaterally, likely secondary to the fall at work. He recommended use of a cock-up splint. She was going to return in approximately 1 month to assess her progress. She continued to see Dr. Danowski regularly over the next many months. And underline this, his records are out of order and need to be reorganized. In paragraph on 11/17/21, she saw Dr. Nolan for an EMG. It appeared it showed evidence of borderline right median sensory nerve conduction slowing at the wrist, with normal right median motor nerve conduction across the wrist. There were normal left median motor and sensory nerve conduction studies, comma, normal right and left ulnar motor and sensory nerve conduction studies, comma, no electrodiagnostic evidence of a right or left cervical radiculopathy, acute or chronic, period. And follow up with Dr. Donaski on 11/26/21, he wrote the EMG was essentially normal. Appeared her symptoms remained the same, period. He discussed a corticosteroid injection to the left carpal tunnel that would serve as a diagnostic as well as therapeutic injection, period. Such an injection was administered, period. New paragraph, this is an office note out of order. She saw Dr. Donaski again on 10/27/21, period. He found intact sensation to the tips of the fingers. Appeared she had mildly positive denials on the wrist. Appeared Phelan's and Durkin's compression tests were negative today, period. He thought she might need an EMG to rule out carpal tunnel syndrome, period. On 2/25/22, Dr. Donaski administered a corticosteroid injection to the right carpal tunnel, period. New paragraph, Ms. Pearson was seen on 3/4/22 in the same practice by physician assistant Campanella, C-A-M-P-A-N-E-L-L-A, period. This was for chronic pain of the right knee. Appeared she carried diagnoses of tear of the medial meniscus of the right knee, period. She asserted she fell at work about 1 year ago and injured the knee, hands, shoulder, and her back at that time. Appeared she did not have any workup regarding her knee until today. Appeared, and underline this, her complaints of knee issues does not correspond at all with the mechanism of injury in which she fell backwards onto her outstretched hands. Period. She... mildly reduced range of motion of the knee with prepatellar swelling and a small joint effusion, period. An MRI of the knee was ordered, period. She saw Dr. Donaski again on 4/13/22, reporting temporary relief of her symptoms following the injection. Peter Weberly then returned, period. He then recommended an MRI of the right wrist to better evaluate ligament destructions, its structures of the wrist, as well as the carpal tunnel, period. MRI of the right wrist was done on 4/22/22 to be inserted here, period. On 6/30/22, Dr. Donaski performed corticosteroid injection of the right ulnar carpal joint, period. He noted the wrist MRI showed some degenerative changes as well as a small tear in the central disc of the TFCC, but it was otherwise normal. Period. He did not think that TFCC tear would require surgical fixation, so performed this injection. Period. Ongoing care with Dr. Donowski was rendered over the next several months. Period. On 12/9/22, he performed an injection to the right index finger for a trigger finger. Period. New paragraph on 1/24/23, she was seen by Dr. McMillan, MC, capital M-I-L-L-A-N. Period. He noted a course of treatment for the trigger finger as well as the EMGs. Period. He reviewed x-rays of the right hand that were negative. But there was also an MRI from about a year ago demonstrating injury of the scapular lunate ligament, but nothing further. Period. He diagnosed right hand trigger finger and right hand internal derangement. Period. Dr. McMillan was concerned about the possibility of osteomyelitis after the recent injection, but he then referred her for a repeat MRI. Period. This was done on 2/1/23 to be inserted here. Period. She followed up with Dr. McMillan through 2/6/23. Period. They discussed possible surgical intervention to release the A1 pulley. Period. She previously failed an injection. She is averse to going to the Mount Holly Hospital due to a bad experience one time when she fell out of a gurney. Period. She could not go to surgical given a brain disease that she requires a hospitalization stay. Period. She then was advised to see one of his hand specialist colleagues. Period. New paragraph on 3/22/23, Dr. McMillan performed right hand second digit trigger finger release for the postoperative diagnosis of right hand second digit trigger finger. Period. She followed up postoperatively. Period. She attended her first postoperative appointment with the physician assistant on 5/4/23. She was currently doing really well. She was referred for formal physical therapy and advised on keeping her incisions clean. Period. Physical exam. General appearance. She focused on her subjective complaints and other perceived difficulties from the outset. She did bring a wrist brace with her that demonstrated no wear on it. She was wearing several rubber bracelets. She had long fingernail extensions. She complained about her employer, coma, the doctor's coma, and the insurance carrier. She is a breast cancer survivor. She worked in jail before Home Depot. She completed forms with her right hand, holding her pen and maneuvering her fingers. Period. Parentheses, this would demonstrate high functionality that was not apparent on the direct clinical exam. Close parentheses. But she states she had been seen at NovaCare, but complained about them. Period. She was told that most African Americans have elevated blood pressure. Period. She then changed the physical therapist and sent a letter to the Attorney General. Perry reports being of part Japanese heritage. Prepared for her shoulders, she went on her own to her breast cancer surgeon. Period. Extremities upper, she simply rolled up her sleeves, limiting visualization. Prepared to a small right index palmar MCP area scar. Consists with her surgery, but no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Period. There was crepitus about the right shoulder with abduction 170 degrees and flexion 165 degrees, both with tenderness, period. Most of the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and fingers was otherwise full in all spheres without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period. She had global tenderness, palpation about the right hand and shoulder, but not when distracted. Period. There was no tenderness on the left. Period. Manual muscle testing was 5-5. She resisted right shoulder abduction, but was only, but was otherwise 5-5. Period. Hands, wrists, elbows. She had an anticipatory response to Fallon's maneuver on the right, complaining of paresthesias. Perich had a similar anticipatory response to Finkelstein's maneuver on the right, eliciting tenderness. Perich, these maneuvers were both negative on the left. Period. New paragraph. She uses her left hand to flex her right thumb, although right thumb flexion was full. Period. We attempted hand dynamometry, with which she was uncooperative. Period. At the first attempt at setting 2 on the right, she generated 5 pounds of pressure. Period. She would not make a fist and just used her thumb and index fingers loosely. Perich complained about the metal of the device being cold, increasing her symptoms. Perich, due to this scenario, further testing was discontinued. Perich, spine, cervical. She had spasm and tenderness of the right trapezius that she attributed to driving here. She had tenderness of the paracervical musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none in the midline. Period. The rest of that is normal. Through, active extension was minimally limited to 50 degrees and left rotation to 65 degrees. Period. Motion was otherwise full in all spheres without discomfort. Period. Sperling's maneuver was negative. Period. And go back to the general appearance. She complained about the knee injection by the physician assistant who was, quote, careless. Period. End quote. Impressions. On 8/24/21, Rochelle Pearson slipped off of a rolling chair and landed on her outstretched hands behind her. Period. She did not seek treatment until presenting to urgent care several weeks later on 9/7/21. Period. X-rays of the wrist showed no acute abnormalities. Period. She then came under the orthopedic care of Dr. Danowski. Period. He elicited a history of numerous other medical conditions, including idiopathic neuropathy. Period. This suggests to me as being the possible etiology of her supposed carpal tunnel symptoms. Period. She had an extensive course of treatment and extensive diagnostic workup and course of treatment that included various injections and splinting. Period. On 3/22/23, she had surgery to perform a trigger finger release. Period. She followed up postoperatively through 5/4/23. Period. She expresses that on her own she sought treatment for the shoulder through her breast surgeon. Period. She has been able to return to the workforce with the insured. as a cashier, for this obviously necessitates retained functional dexterity and strength. Paired, she admits to also having a second job as a crossing guard. Paired, thus, she does remain quite active overall. Paired, in paragraph, the current examination found her to focus on her complaints involving her employer, the doctors, and insurance company throughout the evaluation. Paired, the exam was fraught with signs of functional overload, as noted above, so will not be repeated here. Period. Notwithstanding her subjective complaints, there are contradictions in her clinical exam in terms of tenderness at the right hand and shoulder with and without distraction. Period. In paragraph, there is 3.5% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory right hand. This is for the orthopedic residuals of her trigger finger repaired surgically. There is 0% permanent partial disability referable to the left hand. Neither hand has substantive carpal tunnel syndrome necessitating, substantiating permanency. Period. Overall, Ms. Pearson unfortunately appears to be a disgruntled individual, as demonstrated by her numerous statements and behavior over her course of treatment. Period. End.